Good morning. Welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. Glad to have you here this beautiful morning. Now, you know what today is? Today is day 300.
Wow. That's
awesome. On Read the Word, this is day 300. My.
There's only 65 days left for this year.
That means there's only 65 days left for this year. And for all of you that have been following close with us, you know, thanks for being here. It's one of those things that you look at and say, did we actually just do this? And the reality is, yes, we did. We actually did just do this. And, you know, sometimes you set out to do something and you're like, well, we'll probably do this, but this is one of those things that I have been determined, and we were challenged. We had some serious challenges in here for this, but I was just determined. There's no way we are going to make this happen. And thank you that you all have been with us all the way along through it and have joined in with us. And I've not done it. I really want to do it, but I've not done it yet. I can't seem to add that much more time into my life, but I got to just get the right mentality about it and start taking a time that's really, I'm doing something I really don't need to be doing, and putting it into going back to Genesis and starting all over again. Mm-hmm. And see how long it actually takes me to go through it, because that would be an amazing lesson in itself. And I've been praying, saying, "What about next year, Lord? What are we doing? Are we going to do this again next year?" You know, because then it would be updated in the next set of revelation. We have had so much revelation this year. Because Jesus said, to him who has, more will be given. He's talking about his word hidden in your heart and the revelation of it coming to you. So the more understanding you get, the more you get. And then he says, until you have an abundance of revelation. You can literally get enough revelation that you get an abundance. And in the parable of the sower, it's a hundredfold return. Well, here we go. Let's make our confession. We'll get started. Pray this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He's the great I am.
Because He is the great I am.
I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
Planted as a seed in the good soil of my heart.
Planted as a seed in the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Ready? Say this with me. Brain, shut up.
Brain, shut up.
Yep. Don't tell me not to do this.
Don't tell me not to do this.
I get rid of all distractions.
Because
I want the Word of God.
Because I want the Word of God. Amen.
Luke chapter 14. Happened as he went into the house, one of the rulers of the Pharisees, to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. Talking with my mom the other day, and she's Like, you ever just get serious about the Bible and say, I wonder what that looked like? And that's how I am. Have you ever been there? I've been there. Where you walk in a place and everybody's like... I was invited to a minister's meeting one time by a group of people that were my friends. And it's serious. There was a room of about 35 black pastors there in the African-American world. I was the only man of lighter colored skin. And I got to tell you, in that group, I know why that pastor invited me. Because he knew I'd come and have no prejudice. It don't matter to me. I don't care who you are. But you could tell every one of them men sitting at that table needed an adjustment. And that pastor knew it. And he called them all together and invited me. I'm like, sure, I'll come. I had no idea. But sitting there, when all of a sudden I realized all eyes were upon me, it's all right. We got to break down this barrier, because this barrier doesn't exist. In Jesus, there's no Jew nor Greek, male nor female, young or old, slave or free. In Jesus. In religion, there's all kinds of. But in Jesus, there's none of it. I didn't do too bad. I got almost one verse done and then had a little word to say. Two. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Do you notice that says Jesus answering them and there's no record of what they said to him? He could tell by a gift of the Spirit what they were thinking. They kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them again, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things either. And so he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lower place. But when you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. People don't realize this. He who humbles himself will be exalted.
Amen.
Then he said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or supper, do you not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid? When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. There's another one of the reward ceremonies. Is at the resurrection of the just, you're going to be repaid for inviting the poor and the blind and the halt and the weak. Hey, you might as well read the Bible, because you're going to be judged by this. If you don't believe me, it doesn't matter. You're going to stand before Jesus and be judged. This is the oldest book there is. This book has sold more copies than any other book ever will be able to. Why? Because it is the living, breathing Word of God. It's alive. And it's proven by the prophecies. It's proven. 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to him, a certain man gave a supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I ask to be excused. Still another said, I married a wife. We're on our honeymoon. Therefore, I can't come. So the servant came and reported these things to the master. And the master of the house, look at this statement. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. The master said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. This is a story of Jesus' heart and the Father's heart. They want the house filled, and there's still room. For I say to you that none of these men who were invited shall taste my supper. What does that say? See, I don't care what you do. You resist the invitation of God to come to Him. Luke 14:25, believing all to follow Christ. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his brother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, his own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. 28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? Wow. Whether he has enough to finish it. Lest after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and ask conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. Jesus himself said it. That's why I like potato chips. I'm sure somewhere Jesus said potatoes are good.
With salt on them.
Have you ever just sliced a raw potato and put salt on it and ate it? Oh, yeah, hallelujah. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men, throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 15. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him. Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. He spoke to the disciples, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which he lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The parable of the lost son, verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portions of good that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. Wow. Wow. Hold on. I just got to write that down. Not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Not a wise choice. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and the citizen sent him into the fields to feed the swine. That's a nice job for a Jewish boy. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, you notice he said to the servants, next, turn off your phones, what he said to the servants. So he said to the servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. His older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. He answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him? He said to him, son, not servant, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, this is the part where we say, circle the wagons. I want you to think about this. The father was longing for both of his sons to be sons and to know that they were heirs, not just servants. The problem with being a servant when you're an heir is you're out in the field acting like a servant rather than surveying the field and saying, how can I help my dad make this family business go farther? I'm an heir. It all belongs to me. The whole purpose of this story is to show us that the Father in heaven wanted all of his sons, both of his sons, to understand you are an heir. Act like an heir, not a servant. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. And everybody says, oh, don't you just love that Jesus just lets anybody back in after they go and squandered everything? Well, yeah, but Jesus ain't bless and squander. What did the father say to the son who came home, to the servants? Go get him a robe, get him a ring, and get him shoes. Three signs of sonship royalty. Why? Because he wants you to know you're a son. Stop acting like a servant. Think about Jesus' words. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing. He just goes and does it. But Jesus said to the disciples, I no longer call you servant. I call you friend. Why? Because Jesus wants you and I to get past this servant mentality and get into the heir of God and join heir with Jesus mentality. To get into the I am seated together in heavenly places with him mentality. To get into the mentality of I am a king and a priest under God mentality. And I am one with Jesus and the Father. That's what he wants. Why? Because as soon as you function in that, you won't have to come to me to ask all the questions. You'll go right into the secret place and ask them. I'm always here to ask questions. Certainly. But all of a sudden, pastoring the church becomes real easy because I teach you how to walk with God, not give you all the answers from myself. You are an heir. Pastor, I don't know anything about the Bible. It doesn't matter. You're an heir. Holy Spirit lives in here. God the Father lives in here. John 17 says it. John 14 says it. It's in the book. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 says it. He made his home in you. And now you get to be like him. I look in the mirror and see Robert Cottle in me all the time. Why? I'm his son. I don't even know how I act like him. I don't. Because I was only with my dad really till I was 12 years old. And then went away to school and just really never returned. So there's only 12 years of influence. So what does it come from? It comes from I'm Bob Cottle's son. And see, when you and I get that revelation, it changes everything about our life. And then we don't have to worry about do's and don'ts. Here's my list of rules and regulations. Because if you're walking with God and I'm walking with God, neither of us are going to violate each other. We're going to love one another. My pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barclay, says there's never been a church split where everyone in the church was walking with God every day. It's impossible. Because you're going to get along. When you finally shut your day down and you start getting into your own thoughts about the day, he's going to say, you go forgive that brother right now. You call that brother and say, please forgive me for having a grudge against you. And you don't have to do that too many times to just say, well, I'm just going to forgive everybody on the spot so I don't have to keep making these phone calls. Walk with God. You are a believer. He lives in you. I don't know if I've said that enough on this program yet. Now we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. All right? And I do this every single time because I want, no matter who shows up, I want you to have the opportunity to know Jesus. And I hear a lot of preachers say, you know, if you just pray the prayer of salvation, you'll be able to know Jesus. All right, see you later. You have a good day. And it's like people sitting in the house going, what do I say? Pray this prayer with me, and in 2 minutes you'll be right with God if you mean it from the depths of your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and
life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not.
Jesus, here's your place. Make a declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Put your hands out and say, and I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Forgive me of my sin, Jesus.
Forgive me of my sin.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
Make me white as snow.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy
so
Spirit.
I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You did it. Some of you have said, I got to pray this prayer often, Pastor. You just need to get the reality of the righteousness you've been made into. Get that reality, and that whole process will change for you. In Jesus' mighty name. What happened? You went from darkness to light. Why darkness? Because you had sin. Sin is of the devil, so it's dark. Your being was filled with darkness. And right now, you're being filled with the light of God's love right now. You went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. You can't beat sin in your own strength. But with Jesus' strength, you can beat sin. You went from fear to faith because Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, just moved in on the inside of you. And now you get to walk with Him every day of your life. You went from a non-believer to being a believer because you said, I believe in you. And we know to teach you to pray those prayers. Now, this is the answer. Walk with God every day. You say, all right, I don't even know how to do that, Pastor. Number one, get your Bible. I recommend this one right here. Thompson Chain Reference Bible, New King James Version. Just back the CD, the tape up and video up and you'll be able to get it. You'll see it. And then read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and reread it, the life of Jesus and the beginning of the church. And then stay connected to this program because there'll be a lot of discipleship as we read through this. And then we have an evening program that we do on this same channel at Monday through Saturday. It's called Establishing Your Faith. Just every bit of the focus is on helping you become filled with faith and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then, make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. So every time we're on here, you're notified. Now, one last thing. Every morning when you wake up, I want to encourage you in this. Before you get out of bed, say, Jesus, help me walk with you today. And then all day long, talk to Him like He's walking with you. Because He is. He's in here. We learned today in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, God puts you and I on like I've done. So God is in you, and your you is God's garment he's wearing on this earth today. And then just talk to him all day long. When you lay down in bed at night, say, Father, how did I do today? And he's going to tell you. And you'll walk with God. My email address is there. Send me an email. Ask me a question. Ask me 1,000 questions. Every time somebody asks a question, we go for 2 weeks giving you an answer on it. It's awesome to see how God works. And you'll be established in your faith. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We have communion on Sunday morning right here on Read the Word, so be here today. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you soon.
This chronological is because it one we read Luke 11 back on October 13th
and
we read it again today. We didn't?
We read Luke 14 and 15 today.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I was thinking, what happened to 12 and 13? What happened to 13? Or did we read that back further too?
We read 12 and 13 yesterday. And 10 and 11 the day before.
I've got 10 and 11 for yesterday. The 25th?
10 and 11 was on the 25th.
Okay, that was yesterday. And today was...
12 and 13.
12 and 13. But why did we read...
14 and 15 is for tomorrow, 27.
But we just read it for tomorrow, the 26th, right?
We read the 27th. Today on the 26th.
So I forgot to share. Well, either way, we read Luke 11 twice. Okay, so I didn't share the 26th. That's what the problem is.
Okay. I don't think we read Luke 11. What day did you say it was?
No, we didn't read the 26th.
Good morning, YouTube. Glad to have you with us. Community of faith all around the world, wherever you may be.
Mary Pastorick was called me.
She did. I feel really bad for my forgetting.
Hi, kind sir. How are you? I want to pick your brain. I believe that I have read somewhere in the Bible, and I don't know how to search for it. That's why I'm calling you. That, I don't even know how to say it. That, you know, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. When you have a situation in life where you put it in God's hands and you see that He's taking care of you, you know? Like, I don't know how to say it. You know, it's not karma, but, yeah, I don't know if to call it karma or not. But when you see that justice has been served, or when somebody does you wrong, I swear I read it in the Bible someplace, and I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like when you see that justice has been taken care of, you don't. The only way I can explain it is you don't grab the air horn on semi and yank it and say, yeah! Because if you do, then it will fall back on you many times over. I swear I have read that in the Bible someplace, and I kind of like to have the scripture that would support that.
Oh my goodness, just work. Everything is going slow today. This confession, and then I'll call Mary. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We turn from our wicked ways and seek your face.
Did you hang up on Mary?
I wasn't talking to her, it was a voicemail.
Oh!
Forgive our leaders who are so willing to watch America die and do nothing to stop it, but act on purpose for its destruction. Thank you for your mercy, love, and grace. We ask you, remove them from their offices.
Amen.
Replace them with American loving patriots who will get busy during their term and fix it so it can never happen again. Amen. Bring them to judgment for their actions. Try them, convict them for the whole world to see. Most of all, Jesus, help them come to you and know you so that their lives don't spend eternity without you in hell. Forgive us for the 65 million deaths in the United States of America alone. Have mercy on your young ladies and now senior citizens who had abortions. Help them to repent to you and receive your love, mercy, and grace. May they have dreams and visions of their babies in heaven, celebrating with God the Father, awaiting the return of their mother. Bring your judgment, your justice, and recompense to everyone involved who knows on purpose what they're doing and refuse to turn from their wicked ways. The blood of every American warrior cries out for liberty and freedom from this atrocity. The blood of our babies cry out from heaven that this ends now in life, and life more abundantly is lifted up in the United States of America. End abortion, Lord, once and for all. No more bloodshed for our babies. Paint America red with the blood of Jesus in this election, and then cause them to get busy and get the work done immediately. No more political games in Washington, D.C. are allowed. We are the church. We, the church, have joined together, and we stand against it in Jesus' name. Thank you that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across this earth, seeking whom he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are right toward him. We know you have heard this prayer. We know we have the petition that we ask. We call it done, and we give you glory, honor, and praise for the blood and righteousness of Jesus. You are alive and well on the inside of this. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. America shall be saved by the will and power of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
see the blue spot. I like the blue spot. I hope you like it. As you're getting more comfortable.